Now please prepare your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God.
Good morning. All right, hold up your Bibles and we're going to jump into today's word. This is the word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. When we started, Peggy and I started New Beginnings now 11 and a half years ago, the Lord gave me a vision for New Beginnings Church. Some people call a vision a mission statement. You call it whatever you want. We're going to call it a vision. A vision is simply a picture of a preferable future. It's a dream of what things can look like one day. And so this is the vision that God gave us: to reach the North Shore community with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, to teach those we reach to become, we call them, true disciples who ultimately reproduce themselves. We say it like this, in short: reach and teach. We don't just want them to know, but to grow. We don't just want people to know Jesus, we want people to grow with Jesus. When I started the church, the Lord reminded me that there are churches all over, some reaching people for Christ, some who are good at teaching people for Christ, but not a lot that do both. Not a lot that are reaching people and teaching people. Some churches are very good at teaching people. Some churches are very good at reaching people, but not a lot of churches doing both. And he goes, I want you to be that church that can bridge the gap and do both, because it's the church's job to not just reach people, but to also teach them, to raise them up, to grow them up. I was sitting in a Bible study. I'll never forget this. And it was a group of men, about 15 or 20 men. And I asked what I thought was the easiest of all Bible questions. How many books are in the Christian Bible? And this guy answers me, who had been a Christian about 40 years at this point, and he says, like 70, right? And I went, no, not quite. You're close, but close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. There's actually only 66. And I was shocked. And when I left the meeting that night, I got in my car and I'm driving home, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Eddie, what happened tonight is an indictment of the church of today. I said, what do you mean? He said, what I mean is there are people who've been sitting in churches for 40 years and some even longer who don't even know the basics, who don't even know the basics about the Bible, the inerrant, infallible word of God. I went, he said, when I started the church some years later from that night, the Lord brought me back to that night and reminded me. And he said, I don't want you to be that church. I want you to be a church that will grow people up. To know, not just to know me, but to know me in a deep, intimate way, and to really understand, not just to know me, but also to know who they are in Christ. Amen? So as we read our vision statement, there are some questions that come to mind. The first question, I believe, is who is the North Shore community, and why does it say North Shore community? You know, at one point early in my ministry walk, I thought the Lord was calling me to missions. I love to travel. I love to see new things. I did some mission work in Peru and in South America, and I was down there thinking, the Lord, you're calling me to South America. I'm like, honey, get prepared. We're gonna move to Peru. My wife's like, you out of your mind. But the more work that I did in Peru, the more I realized that the Lord was not calling me to Peru. You know why? Because I really like the creature comforts of home. And in Peru, where I was, it's very poor, and it's very rural, and the food's terrible. I would lose a lot of weight living in Peru. And so the Lord said, no, I want you to come do work in Peru. I want you to come do ministry all over the world. But your ministry is going to be to the people of Covington. And the Lord began to give me a heart for the people of West St. Tammany, of this community. As a matter of fact, if you know my leadership, you can ask them. As we started looking for buildings, people would call me and say, hey, Pastor Eddie, there's a building in Mandeville for lease or for sale. You should go look at it. It's perfect size, perfect place. And I would say, we can't go look at it. Why not? It's because it's south of I-12. There's something happens when you cross underneath. No offense, you Mandeville people, but... No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, the Lord said, no, I want you to be north of I-12 in a centrally located space that's convenient to all parts of the parish, all parts of this, especially this western part of the parish. And so us being here is very strategic. And the Lord put us here, and he put us here. And listen, we looked, Jerry, we look at a lot of buildings, right? Ooh, I brought them guys to see some buildings. They're like, nope, nope, nope. And I kept saying, but this has got to be it. Nope. And I would say, look, we can knock that wall out, and we can add on here. And they're like, no, that's not it. That's not it. And then the Lord brought us here, and here we are. So centrally located. And since we've been here, the Lord has continued to grow us and continue to bless what we're doing here. And I believe it's strategic because the Lord put us here. So we're here to reach this North Shore community. But I want you to understand, the North Shore community for a church doesn't end in the parish of which it's contained or in the area in which it's contained. A church must venture outside of the area. That's why we've partnered with the Comers. That's why we're partnering with missionaries all over. We partner with missionaries at every major university in the state of Louisiana. And we have missionaries in those universities reaching young people for Jesus Christ, one soul at a time. Why? Because there are young people coming into those universities from all over the world, all over different parts of the country, and they're coming here, many of them looking for a party, just to have a good time, and we want them to meet the greatest relationship they'll ever know, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? So we do that. We partner with missionaries literally in every part of the world, in China, in Europe, in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, in the Middle East, in Africa, many parts of Africa, and in South America, in Canada, and in Alaska, and everywhere. So we're just excited to do that. How does a little church do that? We do that through prayer. We do that through giving. And we give a lot in missions, right? And that's what you guys have been so faithful to be a part of. And you're literally reaching the world one soul at a time by giving to New Beginnings Church. And so we're thankful for that. So here's the thing. As we think, again, if we think about the vision, we think about the North Shore community. It reaches outside of our area. But we also have to think about this word, the words true disciple. What is a true disciple? Well, there's two verses of Scripture that really kind of undergird our vision statement. The first one is known as the Great Commission. You know it. It's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus resurrected from the grave, and he came to his disciples, and he said these words: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." That is known as the Great Commission. Jesus giving the command to the church, to the people of God, to go and make disciples. Make disciples. Not just go reach people for Jesus, but to teach people for Jesus too, right? It doesn't stop at reaching. It has to be, teaching has to be involved in that. Where did he say? Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. It's what God has called us to do. But I want you to understand, there's another verse of Scripture that must go kind of hand in hand with that one. Because none of you are going to go until something else happens in your life first. And that's a Scripture known as the Great Commandment. When Jesus was asked by some religious people, by the way, I dislike, highly, highly dislike religion. Jesus didn't die to put us in religious practice. He died to put us in relationship practice. And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and through 39, he was asked by some religious people trying to trip him up, "Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?" You know, Jesus was Jewish, and he was trying to trip him. It was trying to trip him up a little bit. This is what he said. He said, "Here's the greatest commandment: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second one is like it: to love your neighbor as yourself." Listen, there it is. All 10 commandments wrapped up really in two: love God and love people. Listen, why is that important to the Great Commission? Because you're not going to go for Jesus, and you're not going to teach people, you're not going to love on people until you first love God. And until you love God and you begin to love what God loves, and that is people, you're never going to go for, you're never going to go for him, and you're never going to go with him to do the work he's called you to do until you fall in love with him. And once you fall in love with him, you begin to love what he loves and you care about what he cares about. And that is people. He said, I came to seek and save all who were lost in sin. The scripture gives us the why. It kind of gives us the why we do what we do. We tell people about Jesus because we've grown to love him. And we've grown, as a part of that, we love our neighbors as ourselves. Then you begin to look like the disciple that God or that Jesus had died for you to become. Now, in order for you to become this true disciple, we must come to a place of surrender. The surrender, Jesus as Lord of your life. You know what? You'll never be the disciple of Christ until Christ is Lord of your life. Not just this religious figure, but literally Lord and Savior of your life. Has there come a time when you surrendered your life to Christ? If that's never happened, then he's not Lord. And if he's not Lord, you're not a disciple. How many of you ever tried leading your life? When I was 35 years old, I thought I was the man. I tried leading my life. I thought I had it all together. I was just kind of living life and doing my thing. And then I realized I was lost. I was lonely. I was empty. And I needed Jesus. When someone introduced me to Jesus, you know what I realized? It was the relationship that I had been searching for my whole life. I met a man. I hope that you met this man one day. And I hope that this man has had the opportunity to change your life. It's because of Jesus that I do what I do today. It's because of Jesus that every one of us, when we walk out of these doors on Sundays, we go and we function as these fully functional followers or these true disciples, right? Today I'm going to share with you, I believe, some things that mark us as what we call true disciples. What are the marks of a true disciple? It's Tuesday night. I laid down to go to sleep. And as I got in bed, I'm getting comfortable. And me and the Lord are talking. And the Lord says, here's your word. Here's a word for you for Sunday. And he goes, bump, 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 bump. And he lays it out to me. I'm like, all right, Lord, thank you. He goes, no, get up and write it down. I'm like, I'll remember it tomorrow. He said, no, you won't. You do this to me all the time. You're right. Dang it. I was all comfortable, too, man. My pillow was all in place. I get out of bed, get my phone, write it down. This is what the Lord said to me, and I'm going to share this with you. The five marks of a disciple of Christ. Number one is he accepts or she accepts the will of God. We accept the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul said in Romans 12, 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Think about that. That every time that you serve God sacrificially, you are worshiping God. Worship doesn't just happen when we sing on Sundays. Worship doesn't just happen when you put music on. Worship happens every time you serve God by doing something for him or somebody else. This is what he said in verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When you begin to think about what Jesus did for you, when you begin to think about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, doesn't it make you want to serve him? That's what Paul's saying in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, remember, anytime we see the word therefore in Scripture, what do we have to ask? I couldn't hear you. What's it there for? Well, it's there to remind the reader to go back and read the first 11 chapters of Romans that tell about the sacrifice of Jesus and all that we have as a result of his sacrifice. You deserve death, but he gave you life, right? And so to put it in a nutshell, you deserve death, but he gave you life instead. And so when we think about that aspect alone, we go, golly, I want to serve God. I want to give everything that I have to God because he gave me everything, right? And as we consider his sacrifice, we begin to sacrificially serve him and serve others. And Paul tells us as we do this, we are literally worshiping God through our sacrificial lifestyle. Listen, as we begin to live sacrificially, we'll begin to discover the will of God. The more sacrificially you live, the more you give of yourself to God and others, the more you discover the will of God. How many of you know the will of God for your life? You know, most of us live our entire lives trying to find the will of God. Let me just tell you, in case you're looking, and only a few of you raise your hands to know it, so the rest of you are still looking, here's what you're looking for. It's good, pleasing, and perfect. So whatever you're looking for, it's going to be awesome, right? Amen. You have to understand the will of God, and your thoughts and your ideas and your ways do not line up. They do not run on parallel tracks. They look nothing alike. Your ideas, your thoughts, your ways, your will, and God's will look nothing alike. God, I want to do this. Here's my 5-year plan and my 10-year plan and my 20-year plan. I'm going to have 2.5 kids and a white picket fence, and I want this kind of car. I want that. And God says, nope, 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 nope. Get that out of your way. Here's what I got for you instead. And you go, all right, that's good. I said, Lord, I want to grow my business. I want to be rich and famous. I want to do this and do that. And the Lord said, how about this? We're going to sell your business, and you're going to go into ministry. No, 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 no. That's not part of the plan. He goes, no, that's my plan. And I want you to follow my plan. And had I not followed God's plan, many of you wouldn't be sitting here today. If you want to live in God's plan, then something has to change. What does he say in Romans 12:2 has to change? The things we think about. We have to change what we think about. Your thoughts, God's thoughts, not the same thing. They look nothing alike. And so you got to begin to think God thoughts. How do you think God thoughts? You got to get in touch with God, right? We have to abandon our plans and our ideas and our thoughts that we wanted in order to receive the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Who's ready to receive the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God? Anybody? The second thing second mark of a disciple or a true disciple is this. A true disciple walks in the promises of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 16. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And in chapter 7, verse 1, the next page, it says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Listen, God calls us to be holy, to walk out and be separate. And he says, you have these precious promises. They are yours. And in Christ, the Bible says, the promises of God for the believer are yes and amen. That means they are done. All you have to do is receive them. Me and you, Carla, we get it. The round. Y'all killing me this morning. Are you walking in the promises of God? The promises of God, all of them, all approximately 7,200 of them are for you and I, and in Christ for you, the believer, they are yes and amen. Kevin said a minute ago during worship, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I'll wait on the Lord. You know why? Because I know I'm waiting for exactly what I have and what I need, and he's always a God who's right on time. We either get to choose to live in the will of God, or we get to choose to live in the will of the devil. Jesus said these words. This is not my words. This is his words. He said, you're either for me or against me. Well, I'd be a little bit for you and a little bit. No, no. He said, there's no middle. We can't straddle. Can I, 1 foot in holiness, 1 foot in the world. I want to have a little fun on Friday night. I'll be holy on Sunday. Come on, church. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. At some point, we got to say, God, I want to walk in all the promises of God. I want to walk in all that you have, but you know what it takes? It takes this. It takes complete surrender to the will of God. You can't have the promises of God until you've accepted the will of God. Because our behavior always follows our beliefs. We say we believe God. We say we trust God. I'm a man of faith. And I'm waiting on God to do this, this, and that. Yet, while I'm waiting, I'm worried, I'm anxious, and I'm insecure. Listen to me. Those two statements do not even belong in the same sentence. You're either waiting on the will of God because you trust in God, or you're going to worry yourself while you wait, and you can't do both. The true disciple walks in the promises. Number three, the true disciple experiences the goodness of God. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14, the psalmist wrote, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. I think we just sang something about waiting on the Lord, right? And we decided, and I heard y'all singing loud, and it looks like you were agreeing with that song. I will wait on you. Why? Because I get to renew my strength and soar like wings on eagles. I walk and not grow weary. I run and not be faint. Are we waiting or are we worrying? Understand this, the goodness of God is not something that happens sometimes. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe God's in a good mood today. Listen to me, God's in a good mood every day. And the goodness of God happens every moment of every day because the nature and character of God is good. And just because bad stuff happens in your life does not mean God is bad. It means you live in a fallen world and amongst fallen people, and sometimes bad things happen to good people. But praise God while you wait. It's easy for you to say, you the pastor. You think bad stuff don't happen to me? Yeah. Y'all got another thing coming. The next time all hell breaks loose in your life, don't ask the question, God, how could you? Oh, why would you? Because it ain't God. What you need to say is, devil, get out of my life. I've had enough of this. I am standing on the promises and the goodness of God, and I know you're still good, even though I'm going through some tough stuff right now. Let's be real. Sometimes bad things happen. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. You know why? Because the Lord is good. The word delights in verse 23 is the Hebrew word shafetz, and it means to take pleasure in. Listen, when you become a follower of Jesus, or as we refer to it as a true disciple, you're taking delight in God. And when you do, you get to experience the goodness of God. Here it is, listen to me, in the land of the living. Not just one day, but how about today? God wants to be good to you today. James said in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above. Listen to me. Every good thing that happens in your life, every great thing that happens in your life is from God, and everything that is not. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Number four, the true disciple displays the power of God. Mark chapter 16. Mark wrote in chapter 16, verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will be made well. Listen to me, church. Those of you who believe that happens in their lives, those of you who don't believe, you wonder, I don't get to experience those things. You know why? Because I think you got some doubt. I believe a little bit. I believe some. He said, those who believe, those who trust what I say. Amen. He said, you will lay your hands on sick people and they'll be made well. Amen. He said, you'll drink deadly poison. Not that I'm going to try. And he said, what? You know how people handle snakes? We ain't got no snakes coming out, trust me, because I am afraid of snakes. So the only good snake to me is a dead one. And you ain't never got to worry about that at this church. Because I'd be like running out the door. Somebody pulls out a snake, shoot him and the snake. Listen, disciple, if you're a disciple, a believer, a follower of Jesus, these signs will accompany you. They'll follow you. We get to display the power of God because we believed, because we accepted the will of God, because we walk in the promises of God, because we have experienced the goodness of God, and now God is flowing in us and through us to those around us. And people are going to ask you at some point, I don't understand what's different about you, but something is different about you. Can you tell me what it is? It is the power of God at work in your life. And listen to me. The next time you're confronted with evil, just look evil in the face and tell evil, you got no business being in my presence. Get out of it. Listen, I have had that opportunity to be in a deliverance and looked evil in the eyes. I was a little scared for a minute, I'm going to be honest. But the minute I got the gumption of Jesus in me and I stood up and spoke out, guess what that demon did? Pew! Out the room. All of a sudden, I was talking to this lady. This is no lie. You can ask my wife. I was talking to this lady. The whites of her eyes were white as can be. When I asked her who was in there, all of a sudden, the whites of her eyes turned red as blood. And I went, oh, my gosh. And her voice changed. It didn't sound like her voice anymore. And I spoke to that thing. And guess what? Those whites turned back to white. And her voice went back to the way it was. And that demon was out of there. Why? Because we have the authority. We have the power. And you get to decide if you're going to walk in it or not. True disciples display the power. And lastly, true disciples tell others about God. You know, this is the year at New Beginnings, the year of evangelism. We're calling it the year of each one, reach one. And a few weeks ago, someone came into church and they introduced me to a friend, a new person. And they said, oh, Pastor, this is my friend. And as the friend walked by, they looked at me and said, this is my one. This is my one. All right. I hope you got one or two or three. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, look at this, look at the words, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. When something great happens to you, what's the first thing you do? You tell somebody else about it. When I got saved, I was telling everybody. You are not going to believe what happened to me. And I remember I ran into some people from high school, and because they knew me back then, you know. Hey, what do you do now, Pastor? I said, I'm a pastor. No, really, come on. What do you do? I'm a pastor. They were astounded, kind of blown away. No, I said, really? And listen, let me tell you something. God is so good, he could even save you. Listen to me. God is real. And God is in the miracle working, saving business. And he wants to use you to reach somebody else for Jesus. And that's the why we put these bands on earlier this year. And we said, I put them there as a reminder to each one, reach one this year. Because a true disciple tells somebody else about what God has done in their lives. I want you to know God is still moving in our lives. He's still moving in us and through us. And I want you to think for a minute. When's the last time you told somebody about what Jesus has done in your life? Now, if the answer is, I can't remember, it's been way too long. And if the answer is, maybe a couple of months ago, been too long. And I want you to know today, out there, in your circles of friends, in your circles of influence, there's somebody that needs to hear about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I want you to know, you are the mouthpiece chosen to go tell them about what God has done in your life. Are you willing to do it? Would you stand with me? The true disciple, number one, accepts the will of God. This, I never forget, I was laying in bed. The Lord said, here's your message. You tell people that a true disciple accepts the will of God, walks in the promises of God, experiences the goodness of God, displays the power of God, and tells others about God. Got it. Now get up and write it down. And I've committed it to memory because I want you to know it's important. And every one of us should be displaying these things, these marks in our lives. Now, if that's you today, say, hey, you know, I got 1 out of 5. I got 3 out of 5, 2 out of 5, whatever it is. And I want, Pastor Eddie, I want all of those things to be the marks of who I am. If that's you, I want to invite you to the altar. And I want to pray a prayer over you today. As you get ready to leave this place, I know somebody needs to hear what God is doing in your life. Come on. This all starts with us surrendering our lives to Jesus. Would you just put your hands to heaven? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up our hands. God, we want your will to be done in our lives. We accept your will, God. We know it's good, pleasing, and perfect. We want your will. God, we want to experience the goodness of God. We want to walk in the promises, God. We want to display the power of God. God, let us be the people who believe so strongly that when we lay our hands on people, they are made well. God, when we tell people about Jesus, they are immediately, their hearts are open to hear and receive what you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Let us be the mouthpiece that will change the life of somebody today. And God, let us all have a story about that person that we reached out and touched because the Lord has spoken to us and led us and empowered us to do so. So, Father, today I just pray over these disciples here at the altar, those watching us online, God, that you would continue to do a work in us as we surrender to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.